This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He's now the chief economist for First Trust Advisors just outside of Chicago, Illinois. And he's also the author of the new book, It's Not As Bad As You Think, Why Capitalism Trumps Fear and the Economy Will Thrive. And Brian, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, it's always great to be with you.
Well, obviously, this book was born in the fear generated by the financial collapse of 2008 with Lehman Brothers going down, the TARP bill having to be passed in order to shore up our financial institutions. But the theme that you've expressed in our interviews over the years and right off the bat in this book is that capitalism will be back, capitalism will thrive, and America will prosper. Explain why, despite all the negative things we saw 2 years ago and a lot of concerns people have now about what the government's doing, you think that we will have a strong comeback?
Sure. You know, and all of this is based, Greg, in this kind of concept. You have to decide when you're thinking about economics. Are you with Keynes? Are you with John Maynard Keynes? Or are you with Milton Friedman? There's other names that could go on those two sides. But Keynes believed, and Keynesians believed, that the free market isn't very stable, that it goes through periods of crisis. And Friedman and the free marketeers said, no, the system is efficient and it's more rational than people think, and it can work out its own problems. And this debate has been going on for thousands of years, but in our intellectual circles for the last, 4, 5, 6 decades. And so what I do in the book is I kind of go back and I show that really this wasn't a failure of capitalism, that the financial crisis was in my view really caused by the government. The Federal Reserve held interest rates too low. We had mark-to-market accounting, which we don't have enough time to really discuss. You can add in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Community Reinvestment Act. Those are the things that created the housing bubble. It wasn't just a mistake of capitalism, a market failure. And if you take that view of the crisis, then you kind of come to the view that, well, hey, the system isn't really broken, and that's why I think we're in recovery. Now, what worries me, and I'm sorry for this long answer, but what worries me is that government overreacted to the crisis. I think made it worse with TARP and all these bailouts. And now we have grown government and moved further away from capitalism. And that does give me some fear about the future. However, I do believe we're in a strong recovery today. And the Constitution is still with us. The Tea Parties are here. There's all kinds of reaction to this big government spending, and I think we're going to get back on track over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Brian, if the problems were largely the result of federal policies and perhaps a lack of enforcing the existing regulations, but the focus now is on additional regulations and other areas related to how the private sector functions, and the problems aren't really addressed, what happens down the road? How soon could we be dealing with some of this again?
There's always the chance that we can and we will. But what really causes, for example, these bubbles, we had in the book, I go back and I talk about the banking crisis. Remember the S&L crisis of the 80s and 90s. 2,755 banks and savings and loans failed back then. So I actually think that problem was bigger as a share of the economy, as a pain for the banking system, than the one we just lived through. But you're absolutely right. So here we are again regulating, but we're still holding interest rates at zero, which can cause a bubble. In fact, I think it is in gold prices right now and some inflation fears. But, in the end, we probably, because we don't have a pure capitalist system, we probably will continue to have crises. The good news is that we are still seeing productivity rise. The Apple iPad is the kind of the quintessential invention of capitalism. It's just the latest of all these great inventions that we've had over the centuries. And I keep thinking that those will continue in the years ahead unless we kill it off. And right now, taxes are scheduled to go up. Government spending has gone up. Debt is high. Regulations are high. But believe it or not, the economy, the capitalist system can still thrive even with these things going on. I wish they weren't going on and we would grow better, but we're still thriving. We're still growing, even though government is as big as it is.
Brian, there's a lot of folks worried about a double-dip recession. You do not see that in your book. You talk about a V-shaped light at the end of the tunnel as the title of one of the sub-chapters inside one of your chapters in the book. Basically, we're going to get back virtually all that we lost here in the last couple of years. What are the driving factors behind that?
First of all, the panic is over, and we always have V-shaped bounces off the panic. The Fed is very easy. Now, that's not real growth in the long run, but it sure supports the economy. And then number three, the productivity, the Apple iPads. I'm not trying to push Apple, but it's just the technology that we're talking about, you know, will continue to boost our activity as we go into the years ahead. That's really where my optimism comes from. Now, what's interesting today is some people say, hey, if you're optimistic, you must be a liberal or something, you know, because all these conservatives are so negative about the economy. One thing I remind people is that even in France, where they have national health care, huge government, high taxes, everything else, they still have economic recoveries. Now, I don't want to be France, but I think we would pay a price if we keep our government growing and keep it moving toward the European social system. We will pay a huge price over the long run, but in the short run, we can have a very strong recovery even with government growing like it is.
Brian, last question before we let you go. Let me give you the chance to indict my industry for a little bit here, because part of this book, you talk about how the media really blew a lot of this out of proportion, maybe didn't understand a lot of it, exactly what was happening. What should folks know about what they heard and saw from the coverage of the panic a couple years ago?
It's not necessarily an indict of journalists themselves. I mean, but everybody's after more eyeballs, more viewers, more things. So I think what happens is that we report kind of negative things, and that's mainly because nobody would watch if we reported positive things. If we only reported the people who got to work on time in their car, you know, every morning, nobody would watch the news. It's the 0.5% of people or 0.1% of people that don't get to work because they were in an accident. That's who we report, or the houses that burned down, not the ones that didn't. So what happens is that the media tends, I think, to focus on the outlier events. Now, that's what their customers demand, and that's sort of what news is, but it skews the picture. And one of the ways I put it in the book is, if you think about it, business is kind of boring. You know, I learned how to use a new ball bearing to make something spin a little faster, and that's boring. But those are the little things that add up over time that make our lives better. And that's what the real news about business is. Unfortunately, it doesn't get reported because, in the end, in reality, nobody really would watch it or listen to it or read it.
Well, that's unfortunate, but a better understanding of just how the business world works would be good for the media and everyone. Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for talking about my book.
Absolutely. Brian Westbury is the author of It's Not As Bad As You Think, Why Capitalism Trumps Fear and the Economy Will Thrive. He's former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee in Congress, and he's currently chief economist for First Trust Advisors in Illinois. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.